Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Sometimes even well-meaning fellow believers will try to talk you out of your faith. I've seen it so many times. God's spoken to somebody, something significant, something powerful. They're believing that God's calling them or something like that. And, you know, some well-intended believer will come along and just, come on now. That wasn't the Lord. I mean, you know, the Lord, He doesn't work like that today. And they're well-intended, but they have no faith.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 22, in a message titled, Living and Walking by Faith. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So, Abraham did not allow the physical circumstances to alter his convictions or position of faith. This is where we have to really stand our ground, because this is what so often happens. We allow the physical circumstances. But he didn't do that. Instead, it says that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. So here's the question. How was Abraham strengthened in faith? Well, other translations, I think, translate verse 20 a bit better and give us the answer. He was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. It was through giving glory to God that Abraham's faith was strengthened. In other words, rather than looking at the physical circumstances and wavering or faltering or staggering, he looks at the circumstances for sure, but he's not moved by those. Instead, he's strengthened in faith. How? He begins to give God glory. He begins to praise God. He begins to worship God in advance. He begins to affirm himself in the promises of God, giving glory to God. God, I know you're faithful. God, I know that you gave me these promises. God, I know that you're going to come through. God, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I know that you have been faithful from generation to generation. And you think back and reflect on all of the faithfulness of God. And as you're doing that, you're giving glory to God. And as you're giving glory to God, your faith is being strengthened. This is what's happening. We're, in a sense, we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord. So this is one way that his faith was strengthened, giving glory to God. But we're told in other places in the scripture about other ways to have our faith strengthened. In the 10th chapter of Romans, which we'll get to eventually, we're told that our faith is increased by hearing the word of God. So maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're thinking, you know, my faith is so feeble. My faith is so weak. That's an area where I feel weak. I feel weak in faith. How can you become strengthened in your faith? Well, begin to give God the glory. Get your eyes off of the circumstances, like Abraham did. He did not consider his own body already dead. Now, that's a pretty big obstacle to having, a multitude of descendants that are innumerable. Another major obstacle is, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, these people have to have a kid. That's what they have to do. But you got a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. So, you know, looking at the physical situation, you could easily see how one would waver or stagger. But Abraham doesn't do that. He's not looking at the physical situation. And we likewise, we have these circumstances that we find ourselves in, And they seem to be contrary to everything that we believe that God has told us. But yet, if we get our eyes off the circumstances and back onto the Lord, and we give him glory, that will strengthen our faith. But again, hearing the word of God will strengthen our faith as well. The more we read the Bible, the more we meditate in the scriptures, our faith is strengthened, because in doing so, we see the faithfulness of God. We see the greatness of God. We see his awesomeness. We see his glorious power. We see how nothing is hard for the Lord. We see how with God all things are possible. We know this from what the scripture says about him. But then we've got all of these examples from history of how God has worked on behalf of his people collectively. He takes the children of Israel, delivers them from Egypt. He passes them through the Red Sea safely. He takes care of them in the wilderness for those 40 years. He ushers them into the promised land. He gives them the land. And, you know, you see, God is faithful. But then you go and look at the lives of individuals. You go back, like Paul is doing here. You go back to Abraham, or you go to Isaac, or you go to Jacob, or you go further to Moses, or you go to David, or whoever. And you look at the lives of these people. And as Paul will say at the into this fourth chapter, he will say, these things were not written for their sake alone. This is what we have to remember. Why were these things written down? Did God just want to have a record on hand that he could just, you know, point to or refer to? No, not only that. God had these things recorded to teach us that this is how he works in people's lives. From generation to generation. The things that were written before, Paul will say later in this epistle, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. He says to the Corinthians, the things that happened to the children of Israel, they happened as examples to us. So you see, our faith is increased as we get to know the word of God, because we're getting to know the person of God, the character of God, the faithfulness of God, and we're getting to know how he works in the lives of human beings. But thirdly, how are we strengthened in faith? We're strengthened in faith by believing that God is, not God was. God is, not God was. Now, of course, he was, but he still is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he was. No, right? It doesn't say was, does it? It says must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And what we're being told there is that faith believes that God is present, God is active, God is moving today. Now, when you read the Bible, when you read through the Old Testament, when you come to the Gospels, when you get into the book of Acts and you read all those exciting stories, you know, it all sort of seems to end right there, doesn't it? But does it end right there? No. The story goes on. The book of Acts is continuing to be written. It stops in our Bible with the 28th chapter, but it stopped 2,000 years ago, as far as the record goes, but the story has continued on through the church and God's people for all of these centuries. And either we believe that, or we must conclude that God hasn't done anything in the world for 2,000 years. And, of course, that would be the wrong conclusion, because all of us tonight are living proof that God's done something. He's done something in our lives. He's changed our lives. But this is how our faith is increased. Our faith is increased by believing that God is, by believing that he still works today. This is the beautiful thing about new Christians, young Christians. New young Christians are so naive, they don't know not to trust God. You have to be older in the Lord to learn how to not trust God. You have to be older to look at the Bible and go, oh, well, you know, that happened back then. But, you know, today that's not, it's a different day and age. You know, you've got to be more sophisticated. You've got to be more theologically savvy to come up with those kinds of things. You're a young Christian. You just read and go, wow, look what they were doing. hey, let's try that. And guess what? Things happen.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
Things happen. Just simple faith, trusting the Lord, believing God. So this is how Abraham was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. This is how we will be strengthened in faith as well. But then it goes on to say about him, it says in verse 21 that he was fully convinced, being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Are you fully convinced of what God has promised you? Listen, the devil will try to talk you out of your faith. He'll try to talk you out of your faith. He'll come into your head and he'll start reasoning with you. Let me tell you this, guaranteed, the minute you get a promise from God, the devil's going to come along and say, you can't believe that? Come on, what are you, crazy? You think God's going to do that for you? God's not going to do that. I mean, have you seen God do anything like that for anybody else? And after all, even if he has, would he do it for you? I mean, you're such a loser. You think God's going to do something like that for you? Ah, forget that. You can't believe that. Don't trust in that. The devil will come, and that's the kind of stuff that he will put into your head. But you know what? It's not only the devil that will try to talk you out of your faith. Sometimes your family members will try to talk you out of your faith. Especially, of course, the unbelieving family members. They'll go, oh, you know, come on, you know, you're crazy, you've lost it. You've just gone over the top with this religious thing. I mean, you know, hey, we're all Christians. We all, you know, are religious. It's, you know, just be like us. It's okay. It's, you know, we're cool with Christianity as long as you don't go crazy about it. So just calm down. You don't need to go to that church all the time, and you know, don't carry the Bible around with you. People think you're a lunatic. And you know, do you always have to be talking about God? I mean, can't you talk about other things? And you know, people compliment you, you say praise the Lord. Don't say praise the Lord, just take it, you know. And this is the kind of stuff people get so agitated by, don't they? And you know, they will come along and they'll try to talk you out of your faith. When I got saved, I remember my dad, you know, God bless him. I mean, he's a different man today, but back then he was like, oh, yes, and, you know, I went through that same phase when I was your age. Yeah, you'll, you know, a few months down the road and, you know, you'll pass through that phase. A few years passed and I was still in the phase, and 10 years passed and I was still in the phase, and, you know, after about 15 years, he started listening to me. This is a long phase. But your family will try to talk you out of your faith. Sometimes even well-meaning fellow believers will try to talk you out of your faith. I've seen it so many times. God's spoken to somebody, something significant, something powerful, and they're laying hold of that promise. They're believing that God's calling them or something like that. And, you know, some well-intended believer will come along and just, oh, you know, come on now. The Lord, now that wasn't the Lord. I mean, you know, the Lord, he doesn't work like that today. Or, you know, no, the Lord couldn't use you to do that. You know, no, that's for somebody else. And they're well-intended, but they have no faith. They go to church. They have general faith. They have enough faith to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, so they're saved. They're going to go to heaven. But they don't have enough faith to believe that God's actually working today. And so when somebody says, you know, I feel like God's calling me to, you know, leave my profession And to, I think God wants to call me to the mission field. Oh, no, yeah, that's crazy. You know, you can't do that. No, just stay where you're at. You got a good job. You make good money. Just give some money to the mission field. That's good enough. And I don't know why people do stuff like that, but they do it. A young person, you know, maybe out of high school, maybe a year into college or something, they come home and they tell their parents, you know, Mom and Dad, I've been seeking the Lord. And, you know, these are Christian parents. They prayed for the kid from the time he was born and wanted him to serve the Lord. And kid comes home and says, you know, I'm at college. I just don't have a vision. I don't feel like being here. I feel like God's calling me into the ministry. I want to go to Bible college. No, you can't go to Bible college. What do you mean? Well, look, you finish up, you know, get your degree first, and then we can talk about Bible college later. And they discourage the child. I have seen this so many times, over and over again. I'm not against people going to college. If that's what God calls you to do, go. Go to university. Get your master's degree. Get your PhD. If God's calling you to do that, do that. But what happens is so often when God's calling somebody to do something a bit unconventional or something that's not quite what the parent planned for the child's life, then, you know, well, look, we got to really think about this. We got to reconsider this. Maybe we should get the kid over to the psychologist, see what's going on in his head, you know. Wants to just go out and trust God. You can't, what do you mean trust God, you know? You got to have an education. You got to get a career before you. This is how people think. When Cheryl and I were dating, it was a long time ago, she was going to a university to get her degree, and I had not the slightest inclination to ever go to a university for any reason. And, you know, we got together and we met and we were falling in love and feeling like God was calling us to get married and feeling like God was calling us into the ministry. And there were a lot of people in those days that pulled her aside and said, oh, honey, you know, I understand that you like this boy and all that, but, you know, you really need to, you know, you're in school, you got to get your education, you got to finish, and, you know, what kind of a job does he have anyway? How much money does he make? And, you know, is he going to get a haircut? Or what about that clunky car that he's driving around, you know? I'm exaggerating with some of that stuff. But, you know, that was kind of the idea behind a lot of that questioning. And I think, wow, what if we would have succumbed to that kind of pressure? What if we would have given in? We would have missed out on a whole world of glorious things God wanted to do in and through our lives. So, you need to be fully convinced, because the devil, other people, and even fellow Christians will sometimes try to undermine your faith. So we need to be fully convinced, as Abraham was. Now, what was he fully convinced of? He was fully convinced that what God promised, he was able to perform. Now, has God made you promises? Has God made you promises? I believe that God promises us things. I believe that God is actively working, or at least desiring to work in each one of our lives. I firmly believe, as I know many of you do, I believe that God has a call on every one of our lives. He has a specific plan and purpose for our lives. He has something that he has ordained for us to do with the life that he has given to us. Do you believe that yourself? Has God made you promises? Are you sure it was God? This is a very important point. Are you sure it was God? Now, I don't want to cast doubt into anybody's heart over whether or not God has spoken anything to you. But I want to say this, it's possible to be mistaken about things we think God has promised us. It is possible. So we have to realize that it's possible. And because it is possible, we have to do our best to make sure that we're not putting our confidence in a false promise. I remember years ago, a man came to me and he told me that God had called him to pack it, everything in, to get his family. They were going to move to another country. And he told me God had given him a vision that he was going to go and be instrumental in bringing this great awakening to this country. And he spoke of, you know, speaking in large cathedrals and all of this kind of stuff that he told me that God told him was going to happen. So he did that very thing. He packed everything up. He took his family. They moved to that country. They lived there for probably less than a year. Their marriage almost fell apart. It was a disaster. It was a nightmare. They ended up having to, of course, pack up and come back home and kind of regroup and figure out where do we go from here. So that kind of thing can happen. We have to be aware of that. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is what I am believing, is it really from the Lord? It is not a bad thing to review and reassess what you believe that God has spoken to you. It is a good thing to do. It is a wise thing to do. To go back over it. And of course, when there's a delay in the fulfillment, you're forced to sort of go back over and over again. I have to revisit this thing over and over again. Okay, why do I think this? Why do I believe this? Why do I feel this? Okay, let me go back to that moment in time, or let me go back to those series of events where God spoke to me. But that's a good thing to do. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't think that by doing that, you're showing a lack of faith. You know, some people criticize Gideon because he put a fleece out. You remember? The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, Gideon, go in this year's strength and you're going to conquer Midian. And Gideon's thinking, well, you know, you got the wrong guy. I mean, this can't really be me that you're talking about here. No, you're the man. I want you to go and do this. So Gideon says, well, can we have just a little test here? I just need a little bit of confirmation. And so, you know, the story, he puts out the fleece and God, if this is really you speaking to me, then let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet, or let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And so sure enough, he gets up in the morning, the ground is wet, the fleece is dry. Wow, great, okay. Let's try one more. Some people say, no, that was a lack of faith. No, that was using your head. That was okay. Man, if you're going to go do something like that, you want to make as sure as you can. There's always going to be an element of faith. There's always going to be the necessity to take a step of faith. But God doesn't call us to take blind faith. He gives us evidences. He gives us words of encouragement. He gives us confirmation. So Gideon comes back and he says, okay, this time let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. And sure enough, that was the case. But then a little later on, he even asked for one more. And, you know, the Lord gave it. The Lord didn't say, you know, Gideon, you lack faith. Just don't ask anymore for any more confirmation. When we're wanting to do God's will and we believe that God has spoken to us, we want to, as much as we possibly can, we want to get confirmation that, yes, Lord, this is you. This is what you've told me. Because in some cases, the stuff is going to be, it's going to be so amazing that it's going to be hard to conceive of. It's going to be hard to believe.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering the story of David and Goliath, a children's book and audio CD by the late Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement. It's never too early to start reading to your children timeless Bible stories taught by Chuck Smith. Listen and read along as Pastor Chuck unfolds the story of David and Goliath and allows kids to discover how God used David to defeat a big, scary giant named Goliath. See why David trusted the Lord with all his heart and won the battle for Israel, though the circumstances seemed impossible. Now you can use this book and CD to teach your children the godly lessons on how to trust in the Lord and to be used by Him. Imprint God's Word on their little hearts as you read and listen to this story over and over again. we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this timeless Bible story as told by Pastor Chuck. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics, we will send you this month's book, David and Goliath. You'll find this book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.